Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to 2023 and episode 63 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Dave McDermott and Andrew Shiney. So here we are, recording this episode in the morning of Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023, having last recorded a bumper edition on Tuesday, 20th December, where we'd just come off the back of that 1-0 defeat to Celtic, with Rangers to come that same evening. Never did I think that would be a show I'd look back upon with dew-eyed fondness as being the good old days, but here we are. Since we've returned from the World Cup break, a record of played 5, won none, drawn 1, the most recent of those games yesterday as we record. We'll come back to the rest in a second, but Jim Goodwin branded this one himself as a must-win going into it, Andrew. We didn't. Your take on the game.
To be honest, wasn't it a little bit ironic that before the game started, there's a minute's applause for the guy who epitomised the beautiful game, Pelle. There then followed 90 minutes or 97 minutes or whatever it was of something that absolutely did not represent the beautiful game. It was a pale parody of the football that Pelle was capable of. Really a nothing game. No goals, no real excitement, no VAR checks again. It was so flat. Plenty of effort from Aberdeen, but surely that in the professional game has got to be a given. Yes, at Kilmarnock the previous game, it wasn't there. There was plenty of effort yesterday, but Ross County were set up to defend for their lives. They did that, all credit to them. They didn't even look dangerous in the break, so it's hard to take the positive of the clean sheet out of the game because County were so lacklustre going forward. And the longer it went, you just thought, this has got nothing each written all over it. And that's the way it turned out.
Now, when we recorded before, Dave, both you and Andrew felt the Dons would get a more positive result against Rangers, and then the other games would mostly take care of themselves. But the thing is, the Aberdeen we've seen of late, whether that was Stephen Glass or Jim Goodwin, have found it almost impossible to get points on the road. And in fact, if you look at the records being bandied about, although it doesn't maybe feel exactly like that, the stats of Jim and Stephen to the point of where he was relieved of his duties are almost identical. So is Jim Goodwin in the firing line at this point?
Well, I think 1 point out of 15 since we came back after the break is the stuff of relegation candidates, not where a team like Aberdeen should be. So if we had lost yesterday, I think there would have been big calls. And we know the chairman sometimes, well, not sometimes, always listens to what the fans are saying, whether rightly or wrongly. But I think if this continues, you know, the run of form continues, then it has to be, because it's just, quite frankly, not acceptable. We're still absolutely useless on the road. We can't buy a win. You know, against St Mirren, we looked totally in control, and then Anthony Stewart gets the red card, and that changes the game. But Kilmarnock, I mean, Andrew and I have been to so many games down at Rugby Park. We just absolutely cruised it. But that was just not acceptable for an Aberdeen squad, which, to be fair, the manager admitted he made the very attacking changes for yesterday. We all wondered when we saw the team how they were going to line up, and it just didn't work. I mean, Ross Laidlaw had the one save from Vinny in the second half, but other than that, he didn't really have anything to do, which is, you know, the County had set themselves up to defend for their lives. They'd obviously set themselves up for a point, which they, you know, objective achieved. But, you know, it's up to Aberdeen as the home team, particularly with such an attacking lineup, to actually break down that defence. So, you know, whilst there's a lot of big games coming up, and I would think that's going to determine what's happening on the managerial front, how we got on for the rest of this month.
Yeah, so spell this one out for me, Andrew. When you say, how long can this go on? You've got St Johnstone this weekend, then you've got a League Cup semi-final against Rangers, then another game, which I don't even want to think about at this point. But if, for instance, Goodwin lost against St Johnstone and then Rangers, do you think that would be it?
I think it would be pretty close to the end, you'd have to say, because realistically, a cup is Aberdeen's best chance of winning anything this season. I'd forgotten there's a trip to Tynecastle in between the Cup semi-final and then the trip to Darvel in the Scottish Cup. So that's not going to be easy. Hearts, rather, are flying at the moment. Blew Hibs away yesterday and have got themselves now 5 points clear in third place in the table, which was always Aberdeen's real aim in terms of league position. So that's going to be extremely difficult to claw back. It is a very, very important month, January, but because it's the transfer window, I'm sure there must be targets in place that the club are going to try and get. We'll obviously need to get a right back, because you want to have Ross McCrory playing centre mid. I thought he did well in the game yesterday, getting forward from right back, but you know, we need somebody to be in there. Jaden Richardson has been tried. It hasn't really worked out that well, and he's been sidelined. Centre-back is still a difficult area for the team. Stewart and Scales looked better yesterday, but as I said, you know, Jordan White was really the only attacking threat that Ross County had. And it's one of those that I think now is not the time to be changing your manager right at the start of a transfer window, because realistically, it would take a couple of weeks to get somebody in. So that's half the window gone. Then they're going to have their thoughts on who they want to bring in. You've then got to go and do all your recruitment analysis and all the rest. It doesn't leave you any time to make any changes in the window. And Aberdeen need changes. The squad is going to have to be thinned out a bit, I think. There may be some players that will go out and loan, some of the younger guys, but we definitely need more defensive cover and we need a right back. And once again yesterday, the lack of creativity in the middle of the park was shown up a bit, because you know there wasn't really a plan B. We tried to get down the sides. The quality of crosses wasn't up to scratch. But that's maybe understandable when you're on the back of four straight defeats. There isn't the same amount of confidence. You're not going to try things that you would try when you're winning week in, week out. And as a result, the quality just was lacking there to be able to break down a stuffy Ross County rearguard.
Just on the flip side of the idea of, you know, it's a bad time to get rid of your manager because you've got the transfer window coming up. The flip side of that is, here's a boss, Dave, who brought in basically every player in the club pretty much just now. And on the back of these results, those players are failing. Do you give him more money to spend in another transfer window, or do you nip it in the bud?
No, I think Andrew hit it in the head. You have to. I think the bottom line is you have to give them the money. But there is, as you touched on there, John, if it does go all pear-shaped, then we'll have even more problems trying to sort it out, because there'll be even more players that were signed by the current manager in the club. But no, something has to be done, because see, it's just not acceptable. And you know, very quickly, pre the World Cup break at home, we were, you know, scoring for fun almost. And then how quickly that has just dried up. And you could argue that extra time or the additional time in the Rangers game has been the catalyst for all the woes subsequently. You know, it's sliding doors moment.
Absolutely.
Full time whistling gone, things could all be different, but unfortunately they're not.
Yeah, just briefly, one more thing on the sort of managerial situation, Andrew. We can't go back to that continual chop and change of management, can we? I mean, that period where we did for so long did nothing, A, for the perception of the club, and B, for the bottom line.
No, I think you need to get a bit of stability back in there once again. Football's all about fine margins, and you can look at that Rangers game and say, had we defended better and managed to get the 2-1 win, it would probably have been the lead-in to a run of success, because that would have been a huge win to beat Rangers at Pittodrie. It would have been the first time for so many of the players in the current squad, and you feel certain that they would then have gone on and got positive results at Paisley and at Kilmarnock, and would probably have beaten Ross County. Lady Luck would probably have shone in Aberdeen a bit more than she has done recently. You think of the St Mirren game. Three penalties against you. granted, they were all Aberdeen mistakes that led to the penalties, but that shot from Ilber Ramadani that crashes off the bar, the header where Christian Ramirez gets in the road of Ryan Duncan, had Aberdeen equalised, they'd probably have gone on to win that game because St Mirren looked bust. And then, of course, the third goal comes when your goalie's up trying to head home a corner. Kilmarnock, then, you'd have been going in when, in a different mindset. It's all ifs, buts and maybes, but I think you've got to maintain a bit of stability at the club. I don't think there's a vast amount wrong, but it's sort of basic errors that the Dons are making just now that ought to be able to be cleared up fairly quickly. Jim, I'm afraid, made a rod for his own back right at the very start when, remember, he said, we've got defensive problems, but that can be easily sorted. It hasn't been sorted.
Yeah.
And until such time as it is sorted, it's going to be a problem for the Dons.
Absolutely. Something has to change. Andrew's suggesting that, you know, it's fine margins, that actually we're not that far away, but you do need to do a little bit of tinkering and operating. One option is the January transfer window. What do you change? I mean, you look at the stats. Up until this point, we've scored a lot. You mentioned we were scoring for fun at one point. Haven't in a while, but we were scoring a lot. We also concede a lot. It's got to be the defence first and foremost that you look at, hasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Andrew mentioned central defenders, and it does seem that Jim doesn't have the confidence to play the youngsters like Milne, and, you know, from the start. It's just a case of swapping around very few players, which does not leave any strength and depth. So I think we definitely need a central defender who is going to be given game time should the need arise. Andrew mentioned the right back problem. I think Jane Richardson may come, he's still very young, may come good in time, but obviously Jim doesn't have the confidence to start him, and I agree with Andrew Ross McCrory, he's a bit wasted starting at right back when he's more effective in the middle of the park. But it's a difficult one, you know, and again, if the players that are appearing on the bench but are not getting game time, you know, if they're not going to get game time, then, you know, get them loaned out so yeah, they can get some very important match practice.
Say what, there are days I wish I was wasted when Ross McCrory started at right back. One of the things that constantly surprises me is how you can actually forget who's in our squad, because sometimes they disappear for really long periods of time and they're not injured. They just seem to be out of favour. Vicente Bajayan was a start every week when he arrived, now restricted to cameos. Johnny Hayes looked amazing at the start of the season, then got injured, but has only made bit part appearances on his return, albeit he is coming to the end of his career, as Andrew will point out in a minute, I'm sure. Christian Ramirez featured yesterday, but I'd wager now we won't see him again for ages, if at all. Matty Kennedy, to a lesser extent. Shaden Morris, Dante Polvara, Callum Roberts, out with a long-term injury, we know. A lot of these guys seem to sort of phase in and out. You know, they're either in the squad for a while, and then they're out again for a while. There's no real retention of these guys. First of all, Dave, is the squad too bloated? And second, would we all have to try and shift some of these guys before we bring more in?
I think from a budgeting point of view, probably will have to shift some of them out. I mean, the cynic in me wondered if Christian Ramirez started yesterday, which was a shock to all of us, just to get him in the shop window now the transfer window has opened again. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does say if he does go back to the States or whatever. But yeah, there are players in there that are not, for whatever reason, getting the game time they would have expected and that we as fans would have wished. So yeah, I think there'll be movements in and out over the best part of the month. And it's just important that we get right players in. But what we need more than anything is a win to get the confidence back into the side, because football is all about confidence. And the confidence, obviously, the way things have gone since the World Cup break, confidence is understandably very low.
Yeah, we'll come on to St Johnstone in just a second. Just on the idea of players in the transfer window, any specific players you'd like to see arrive, Andrew, or just positions?
I think it's positions. I mean, there are so many football players out there, and you just need to look at social media. Everybody is what I would term an Umbro jacket wearer. You know, they think as soon as they put on the correct jacket, the jacket that the manager of the moment is wearing, they suddenly become an all-knowledgeable world football expert. So there'll be loads of names. I think it's positions that need to be filled at the moment. Just to go back to one name that you mentioned in that long list of almost forgotten men, Matty Kennedy has come back and been excellent. I thought yesterday he was a shining light, along with fleetingly Duke, with Ross McCrory, with Ilber Ramadani. And, you know, it's really ironic. The four games that we lost, we scored four goals. Every one of them a worldie, you know, and Matty Kennedy scored a couple of them. Terrific goal down at St Mirren. Fabulous free kick against Kilmarnock. They'll be lost completely because the results were so bad. Nobody wants to know about consolation goals. But Matty has got the bit back between his teeth. He's fit. He looks like going places. And he gives you, I think he's got to be deployed further forward. We did try him as the sort of right wing back. I think he needs to be in a more advanced position to get the best out of Matty Kennedy. Take nothing away from him. He will fill in wherever he's asked to play. He kids on. Every time you see him, he says, "What about that Busquets?" You'll be thinking, "Who's this Matty Kennedy that's playing my position?" Hmm. The other day it was, "I think I'm now moving into James Milner territory." I said, "Matty, you're not old enough yet." But he says, "But I'm being played all over the shop." But he's done a good job all over the shop. It's for more players to take on, you know, that type of attitude, because he's a very positive guy. Dave knows what Matty's like. I mean, he's a madcap. But when he's out there on the football pitch, he gives you absolutely everything. And a lot of players could do well to look at Matty Kennedy and say, you know what? He's come back from, you know, fairly major injury problems. He's never got down about it. And he's kept a really positive frame of mind. And he takes that attitude out onto the park that he'll do his best wherever he's played. And if you get that, it makes a big difference. But I think it's positions, to get back to your original question, it's positions rather than specific players. Although, of course, there is one name that always pops up as soon as a window opens and you hear that whoever it is that he's playing for is maybe looking to shift him on, Graham Shinney.
So, who wasn't in the Wigan squad yesterday.
Absolutely. And I believe that Wigan are trying to sort of cut their playing budget, and Graham is probably one. Someone with that similar attitude, frame of mind, competitive spirit would be invaluable for Aberdeen. Whether it is our former captain coming back once again, I really don't know. But as I say, doubtless there will be hundreds of names getting bandied back and forth in various papers and stuff like that. But it's a case of just watch this space.
And while that process continues, so too does the season, with the League Cup semi-final looming after a league tie against St Johnstone this coming weekend. How do we see that one going? Time for a score predictor. I know where the smart money's going. Aberdeen versus St Johnstone, Dave.
Oh, it'll be a free-flowing football match of extreme quality. Aberdeen to scrape a 1-0 win, probably an own goal.
And Andrew, Aberdeen versus St Johnstone.
I tend to agree with Dave. There's not going to be a lot of silky soccer. It'll be a battle, and Aberdeen have just got to win the game. I think there'll only be a goal in it, so I'll go 1-0 Aberdeen as well.
Yeah, let's move on to the under-18s next. not played in a while now, Andrew. Remind us where they were and where they're hopefully going in 2023 and when.
Well, I was speaking to Barry Robson and Scott Anderson yesterday at Pittodrie and check to see what their next fixtures are. And their next assignment is a trip to Bucky Thistle in the Aberdeenshire Shield. That is a week tomorrow, and a game up at Victoria Park, where Bucky, incidentally, haven't lost at home in the Highland League for 3 years. That is going to be a very, very difficult task. Their next game in the under-18 league is 2 days later, at Cormac Park against St Mirren. So not a lot of time for recovery for a young group of players. But, you know, they've scored plenty of goals against St Mirren already this season. They'll fancy their chances there. At the moment, if they were to win their games in hand, they'd be top of the under 18 league. But their Achilles heel reared its head again last time out, a while back, as you say now, when they lost 6-2 to Hibs. And they'll just be wanting to get back into the swing of things. But tough starter away to Bucky Thistle. That'll be a real test for them.
Yeah, now for that one, you're talking about recovery time, but I suppose the upside of that is I think they're allowed to draft in some other players, aren't they, that are on the fringes of, say, the first team squad, for instance.
They could do, yeah. The likes of Jack Milne, who you mentioned earlier, he can play. Ryan Duncan possibly won't play because he's featuring more heavily for the first team now. Evan Towler on out and loan at Cove, he can come and play in that game. So it doesn't have to be the entire under-18 squad that plays in the game, but it will be the majority of the 18s. It's going to be a busy, busy week. But, you know, there are a group of players who, when you write them off and you think, you know, that's a step too far for them, they show that they're capable of doing great things. So tough assignment, but not an unwinnable game.
And they got a good win in the last round against Fermartin as well, didn't they? I mean, that
they did, yeah. They'd been.
You know, that was a tough one to come through. So it's not that they're without experience. So you never know, Andrew. You never know. Fingers crossed for that one. To Aberdeen Women going through a transitional period with no permanent management team in place as yet, but actually posting more positive results in their interim spell. A draw against Spartans back on Sunday, 4th December. The due run out this weekend against Hutchison Vale in the Scottish Cup at Balmoral Stadium. Potentially a good one to come back to, Dave.
Yeah, as long as they get the job done, to be honest. It should be, they'll be very much odds on favourites for that one. And it's up to them to, hopefully in front of a decent crowd, go out on Sunday and rack up a few goals and get through to the next round and give themselves a much, you know, improved confidence boost as well, which confidence will be reasonable just now. Obviously, the uncertainty of the management situation isn't ideal, but I think they're right to take the time to get the right new team in. And it has to be a win and a comfortable win on Sunday against Hutchison Vale to get things moving into 2023.
Cove Rangers next, and like most of the other teams, weather factoring into their season, a game against Dundee at Dens called off because of stadium damage, but they got back into it against Hamilton Accies with a 2-0 victory, which increased their lead over the bottom side to 10 points. They followed that yesterday with a trip to the Highlands, knowing a victory would lift them above Cali Thistle in the league to at least 7th spot, possibly higher, depending on other results. Now, they scored first, too, and then it all went wrong somehow with 2 own goals amongst a 6-1 win for the home side. Ouch. Dave, what happened?
Yeah, hat-trick for Billy Mackay as well. But Jim McIntyre just bemoaning the defending, very immature defending by Cove. And to be fair, they're also, again, a bit thin on the ground personnel-wise with injury. The lad Johnson's been recalled by Motherwell. He's been a bit of a hit. So they do need bodies in, and Jim has said that there will be movement in the transfer window just to try and bolster the squad. But it certainly, that was, you know, Cali Thistle were that was on the back of a really poor run for Cali Thistle. Probably, you know, Billy Dodds, who we know well, I mean, delighted for him, but it's a hard one for Cove to take, because at 1-0, when I looked at the league table, as it was at 1-0 Cove, you know, that was them above Cali, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Arbroath winning at Dundee yesterday, you know, a wee bit of pressure, although Hamilton are looking more and more isolated at the foot of the table. They still want to make sure that third bottom is the least that they achieve this year. And as I've said before, I think they will get that objective.
Yeah, a couple of weeks back, I asked you whether they'd have enough to stay up, which was priority number one for the season. Yesterday, as you say, they could have moved above Cali Thistle with a win. The gap between them is now 5 points. Meanwhile, again, as you mentioned, Arbroath reduced the gap below to just 4, and all of a sudden it looks a bit tense again. These are the fine margins in this division, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, we said it right from the get-go that this championship, anyone can beat anybody. You know, Dundee on the... You know, they've been in the middle of a great run. They get beaten. Queen's Park are going really well just now. Good win over Partick in the Glasgow Derby that matters yesterday. And, you know, it's so, so tight. And home to Queen's Park this weekend, that was a game that was originally meant to be a reverse fixture. So, you know, at Balmoral, in front of hopefully a decent crowd, they'll look to try and get 3 points and help move, keep that gap ahead of our growth and hopefully catch up in the teams above them.
Yeah, as you say, Cove back at home this time against top of the table Queen's Park, a nice easy one to get back on track. Peterhead next, having installed new manager Davey Robertson, possibly too late in the season, although he'll be hoping otherwise. But I think it's safe to say ahead of the most recent round of fixtures, with themselves on 7 points, Clyde on 10, and then the next team ahead of them, Kelty Hearts in 24, the best case scenario available to them is that they win a playoff to stay up and then go again in League One in the following campaign. They managed to get a game played at least on Christmas Eve, but maybe wish they hadn't, given they lost it 4-0 to second place Edinburgh. Yesterday they were home to Montrose and it finished 0-0. Progress, Andrew?
Yeah, it's a point gained. Clyde having lost, I think it was Queen of the South beat them, I think was the weekend. But the gap between Peterhead and Clyde, still 2 points. But as you say, it's a battle between the two of them now to see who goes down immediately and who manages to get into a playoff to see if they can stay up. But important, I think, that was Tom Ritchie's first clean sheet for Peterhead. I think it was his 14th or 15th game. And I actually had bumped into Tom in town and was talking about the Edinburgh game. And he said, we played quite well. But then as soon as we concede, the confidence just goes because we think, well, we'll not get the score. So that's another defeat. And all of a sudden, you know, one becomes two, becomes three, one becomes four. But that was a good battling result against Montrose, who are a decent footballing side themselves. So it's a little step, but it's a step in the right direction. But now Davey Robertson and Ian Esselman will be demanding that the team carry that on. They're at home next against Airdrie, who lost 5-3 yesterday to Edinburgh City. Airdrie blow hot and cold. And I would say if Peterhead are capable of getting a result against Montrose, they're certainly capable of getting something similar or better against Airdrie. But proof will be in the pudding. Time will tell.
On to the Highland League now. We're definitely in the period of the year where weather plays a major role in league table positions because the full fixture card rarely goes ahead. These are the matches being played later today. Bucky Thistle versus Devon Vale, Clach v Nairn County, Brora Rangers v Wick Academy. At the table before all that sees Brechin top on 47 points, Bucky second on 43, current champions Fraserburgh third on 38. In the juniors, Dave?
Well, play hopefully resumes after an extended, unwelcome festive break. It's been almost a month since the teams last played. On Saturday in the Premier League, we have Cooter at home to Dufftown, so Cooter, you'd expect to win that one. Montrose Rose Lee versus Colony Park and Bankhouse and Terran away to Nairn St Ninian in the Championship. Birkhead Thistle versus Deverin side. Cruden Bay against Banks of DGFC. Longside Lossiemouth United. New Elgin, Newmarket United and Rothie Rovers against Aberdeen University. But it's also the second round of the Quest Engineering Cup. Bridgeton Thistle at home to Buckenhaven Hearts. Dice versus Isle of Ale. Ellen against Maud. Stonehaven away to Forest Thistle. Stonewood Parkville at Glentanner. Hermes at home to East End. That's probably the game of the day. And finally at Heavenly Fold, it's Sunnybank versus Fraserburgh United.
So a little smile coming in your face there, John, when Dave mentioned the Quest Engineering Cup. You were expecting another 15 words.
I was going to ask if that had been shorted, if you'd abbreviated it slightly, you know, of the Quest Engineering and something cup. But, you know, it's just not, is it? It's disappointing. That is pretty much it for episode 63 of Pittodrie PS. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. If you could rate and review us, that's what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.